Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
Now, before we rip into Michigan State anymore, I do want to give Michigan its due diligence, because I know there's Michigan fans out there that think that we rip on Michigan a lot. And, you know, the fact of the matter is I don't rip on Michigan as much as I like to just put it in reality. And in reality, their football program isn't very good right now, and their basketball program isn't very good. But I want to give them credit because they look good. They look good against Michigan State. They executed. And I like John Beilein. I do. I always have. When he was at West Virginia, when he came back to Michigan, I've always been a fan of John Beilein. And even from day one, you looked at the X's and O's, and Michigan was executing offense up until missing that three-point shot their first and second years. Okay, but they were getting open. They were getting open shots. And now that he's starting to get his players in, you see the potential in Michigan basketball under John Beilein. Let's face it, he's like Billy Gillespie. He's never going to bring in five-star recruits. It's never going to happen. But he can win at Michigan if he keeps bringing in quality three- and four-star recruits that fit his offense. And they looked fantastic against Michigan State. I love their effort. I said it last week. I think they play harder than any team in the Big Ten, except for maybe Indiana, when they play in the Big Ten. And if their field goal percentage goes up, they could be a solid team. I don't think they'll make the tournament, Scott, but they're definitely going to finish above 500, and I think that'd be quite an accomplishment considering where everybody thought they were going to be this year.
Well, I mean, you said it a couple weeks ago, kind of poking fun towards them as, you know, they're a fun team to watch, a little bit of a backhanded compliment.
I enjoy watching them, I do.
Right.
Even when they lose by 20.
Exactly. But then, and I don't know if it's the rivalry or whatever, and that's kind of what the guys in the locker room said. They did some things a little differently than they do on tape. I don't know if that's a rivalry. I don't know what it was, but they just owned that, because I got there late. The game started at 7. I had to work until 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there. Michigan State was down 4. It was about 7 minutes left in the first half. It never felt anything.
Never felt like State was going to win that game.
Never.
Never.
From that point on.
As soon as Michigan State started trying to match 3 for 3, they were not going to win that game. When they were trading 2 for 3s for a while, I thought, you know what? Michigan's going to cool down at some point if Michigan State starts playing tough perimeter D, and then Michigan State can keep pounding it inside.
Well, that's just it. If Michigan State starts playing tough perimeter D.
Which they didn't.
Which they didn't. I mean, there's one thing, and I said it last week. Michigan State settles for three-point shots. They're not working to get open for them. Michigan was actually working the ball around. That's their offense.
That's their
They're
game.
Set up to do that.
Yep.
You can't afford to let them get open and take that shot. Anybody's going to be a good shooter if you give time and space to step into your shot, release it with, I mean, if you're comfortable getting into your shot,
yep,
you've got to be crazy to think you're not going to make 50%.
There's a reason that Michigan ranks last in the Big Ten in rebounding, and that's because their big men are very good at setting screens. And if you set screens, catch and release, your big men aren't anywhere near the rim to rebound.
I think that might be the most disappointing thing about this, because, okay, let's stereotypically, what is Michigan State's MO?
Rebounding and defense.
Michigan played Minnesota. You know what the rebounding was in that?
Did anybody get a rebound in that game?
Michigan had 13 rebounds.
Yeah.
13
the entire
to
game.
38. You know what it was in this game? I've got it right in front of me. Final box score, 29-29.
See, even. That's just unacceptable. If as a Tom Izzo coach team, at Michigan State, where you've been preaching the same thing since 95, okay, that is unacceptable to play a team that doesn't care about rebounding, doesn't care if they get the rebound or not.
They play zone defense most of the time, and they shoot threes.
Yeah, it's just unacceptable. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Michigan. They got outplayed. They got flat out outplayed by a better Michigan team on the night. Now, do I think Michigan's a better basketball team? No, not at all. No, Michigan State's got more talent. They're nowhere near catching Michigan State as far as program standard goes or anything like that. But that was a good win for Michigan. That was a very good win for Michigan. It snaps that 1,100-game streak of not beating Michigan State or anything
day
like that.
Day streak. It's not quite
day
that
streak.
Bad, but yes.
Well, it feels like an 1,100-game streak. But it was a good win for Michigan. But you look at this Michigan State team, and we'll touch on this. I know we're coming up to a heartbreak pretty soon. We're going to touch on Corey Lucius at some point, but I want to get Scott's opinion more after the break on this Michigan-Michigan State game. And really just the somber mood that we felt in that locker room. Before we go to break, Scott, I just want to know, after the game in the locker room, did you have any feeling that Michigan State was going to be able to turn the season around?
No, but I felt that since even the overtime win over Wisconsin. They just don't have the same attitude. And you nailed it when you said Travis Walton. He's not there. And there's just not that presence. I noticed it on the court, too. And I agree with what you said again with Darius Morris. He looked frustrated because Kalen Lucas was guarding him all the way up the court, and then they switched, put Appling on him. But when you look, that was just bringing the ball up the court. When he got into the offense, he was able to do what he wanted.
He was able to do what he wanted, and he did actually an excellent job of taking advantage of that pressure D. He sucked guys in and then worked Novak off screens and dished it to Novak so Novak could drain those threes.
And Travis Walton would have been on him. And in the locker room, there's certain things that happen. He always stood guard of the S in the middle of the locker room, the floor with the title, tiles in it. You never stepped on him. There's nobody who stepped up and keeps people off of those. It seems like a small thing, but it's that attitude.
Yep. Keep tuned into us at 10:30. Joe Rexroth will be here from the Lansing State Journal to talk more about this. We're going to touch on it more after the break. We also got to get to Corey Lucius and that whole situation and how it affects the team. Greg Jones will join us. Frank Zombo. It's a good show today here on 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff.